no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. Escape, brought to you by your Richfield gasoline dealer and the Richfield Oil Corporation of New York. Marketers of Richfield gasolines with Xylene, Rich Lube, All Weather Motor Oil, and other famous petroleum products. Look for the Richfield Eagle on the cream and blue pumps.
Tonight, we escape with the story of the murderous priests of a weird cult hidden in the barren deserts of Mexico. As Gouverneur Morris tells it in his famous tale, The Footprint.
Here it is. Now you see me, Buckles. Here's the Gulf of California.
Yeah.
And up here near the Barra de San Jorge, on the coast of Sonora, we find two bays divided by a high spit of sand with a granite pillar marking the bay to the north.
Mm-hmm.
It's a massive thing, that pillar. Easy to find. You can't miss it. Then there's 20 miles inland, due east from the pillar, and we find it.
Well, find what?
A Chinese pagoda.
A Chinese pagoda?
You sure it isn't a Japanese wigwam?
Ah, now, boys, I know it sounds strange, but it's the truth I'm telling you.
How did you get this map, Mr. Mugridge?
Ah, from a Chinese, God rest his heathen soul. I did him a sort of a favor once.
You did him a sort of a favor, and he tells you where to find a fortune and rubies?
How come there's a Chinese pagoda full of rubies in Mexico?
If you know the facts, me Buckles, it wasn't the Spanish who first set foot in these shores.
Huh?
It was the Chinese.
Come on, you guys.
Thanks, Mr. Mortgage. We're sorry to take up your time.
Oh, no, wait a minute. It's a nice trip on a good, sound schooner. And if you like sailing, what have you got to lose?
And there was nothing to lose except the $200 a head he charged to outfit the schooner. And that was cheap enough for a summer's cruise, and we all liked sailing. Well, we took it easy after we left San Francisco, heading around the Cape of Lower California, hitting La Paz, and then up and across to Guaymas, and on into the northern part of the Gulf. And after 2 weeks of searching for a pair of bays marked by a granite pillar, we finally anchored in a small inlet to look for fresh water. Yeah, the relief from constant sailing was good.
Ah, man. I'll draw a card, will you, Chris?
Yeah. Jim, you're blitzed.
Yeah.
You're a lousy card player.
Yeah, you're just lucky, Pinhead.
And that makes 500, you owe me.
Yeah. I'll pay you when we find the rubies.
You deadbeat.
Chin up, lads. We'll find that pillar yet.
Ah, nuts, Margaret. We've looked into 50 of these bays. Why don't you cut out the act?
What are you talking about, lad?
Just come right out and say it. You cooked up this whole deal as a meal ticket.
You can't see anything through those binoculars except what we've already seen 100 times.
There isn't a hunk of granite in 500 miles. You know it.
Well, to think the thought could enter your mind. Boy, I'm as put out as any of you. But now's the time to persevere and we'll find
it. Skip it.
Come on, Green.
Hey, wait a minute. Now, there's something for you.
What?
There's a boat heading into the bay.
We scrambled up to Margaret at the bow. Boats were rare this far up the Gulf. She was just rounding into the bay a quarter mile off. She looked like one of the fishermen we'd seen down by Guaymas, but not quite.
Better have one of you get the guns out of the locker. There's no use taking any chances.
I'll get it.
By the time Meph came back with the guns on deck, the stranger was close inshore. And as she came about, we saw him through the binoculars, seated on the open stern, holding a yellow umbrella to keep off the sun, a Chinese dressed in gleaming white. He was mountainous with fat, and his big, round, smiling face glistened with sweat. Another Chinese, stripped to the waist, came out of the big cabin, lowered a dinghy, and hopped in. The big Chinese swung his rolling fat over the rail. We watched the fat man being rowed into shore and continued watching as the dinghy skipped back to the boat which headed out to sea. Until it rounded the horn of the bay, the Chinese just stood there. Then he picked up his yellow umbrella, turned, and waddled across the beach, lumbered over a dune, and was gone.
What do you make of that?
I don't know, but now's the time to find out. Let's go ashore.
Look at that guy's footprints. He must weigh a ton.
You said it, man.
Come on, boy, this way. Up the dune.
Yeah, I can't run that fast in this stuff.
Hey, boys!
What's got into him?
I'll get up the dune and we'll find out. Come on.
Call me a liar, will you?
What?
Call me a cheat. Call the map a phony, will you? Look.
What? Why, it's the pillar. The granite pillar.
No wonder we couldn't find it. It's almost buried in the sand.
Will you look at the size of it?
The rubies, boys. We've as good as got them.
What about our fat friend? Looks like he has the same thing on his mind.
We follow him, me buckos. It's four with guns against a yellow umbrella. Come on, lads.
It all seemed real now. It wasn't a corny gag. Somewhere in that desert was a fortune in rubies. And apparently that Chinese was leading us to it. Ahead of us, we could see the yellow umbrella bobbing in the distance. And for all his fat, he set us a murderous pace.
Hey, why doesn't he stop? This is killing me.
He will, but we got to pull closer to him. Save your breath.
But he didn't stop. He kept it up the rest of the day. And the sun was like a red-hot iron on our backs, and the heat waves danced off the desert like crazy devils. For a while, just before the sun set, the heat threw up a mirage, and the fat bulk of the Chinese seemed to waddle through the sky. And then it was dark, and we lost him. Until...
Hey, look. He's coming back.
What?
It's a Chinese.
I come back to say I go 20 miles without no stop. You like to come all the way, I say nothing. Only tell you all the way nasty sand. You go back. Wish you pleasant halt and return journey.
We're not going back.
Very well. Only I experienced traveler and put up with no complaints. Pleasant conversation and all good friends at end of journey. You.
He means you, Johnny.
Me?
You got nice, respectable face. Walk with me.
Okay.
My name, Sang Ti. Very fine, rich Chinese merchant.
Well, where do you come from?
No matter. Where I go is important. Chan Chan, very fine, holy place to end days in.
Holy place?
Oh, yes. You see, I am dedicated to high gods by parents when very little boy. They ask high gods I be given very fine, successful life. It is accomplished. Now must pay our promises of parents to high gods.
Well, you're very lucky.
Luck? On 45th day of 45th year, I kneel before priests of high gods, pray before sacred rubies of Holy Grey Spirit, reflect on insignificance of life, and am soon strangled.
What? Strangled?
I give you honest word, being strangled at 45 is no joke. But cannot break promises of dead parents.
Well, maybe so, but
I arrange for you and friends to see ceremony. It is very dignified, interesting occurrence. Excuse me now. Please, I meditate.
He folded his hands inside his sleeves, dropped his chin on his chest, and drew ahead. We couldn't keep up with him, and 3 hours later we were still following the black holes the fat Chinese's feet had left behind. It was just an hour before dawn when we finally saw it. Chan Chin, a large stone building with a few smaller ones tucked near it. How there could have been a lake in the middle of this impossible waste was beyond understanding, but there was a small one, and we ran for it. It was the sweetest sight in the world. We sucked it up with our paws and mouths, lay in it, patted it, kissed it. Oh, it was beautiful.
Oh, I don't care if I ever see another French bathing suit again. Oh, you lovely water, you.
Where do you suppose to be hid, huh?
What?
The rubies, me buck, with the rubies. How about that big building, huh? Looks like some sort of a heathen temple.
It is temple.
What?
Temple of high gods.
Sangchi.
Oh, look who's here again.
You better travelers than I expect. You look a bit, then go home. Priests, a very unhealthy place for unbelievers.
How many priests?
Ten priests. Not many, but enough. Why you come to Chenchang?
We heard about it through a friend.
Now you see, you go before sunrise.
I couldn't move another step.
Why you come here? Maybe to steal very high god rubies? You leave very high god's ruby box alone. You, with respectable face, take friends away.
I can't, Sancti. We've got to rest.
You wait till after interesting occurrence of strangulation, then you go.
For a man about to meet the high gods, you're pretty calm.
Oh, very miserable business. But parents make promise. What can do? It is time.
Well, me buckles, the fat heathen says, it is time.
Yeah, this I gotta see.
Black as pitch. You see anything?
No. Wait. You hear it?
Easy.
It sounds like it's coming from somewhere in front.
Hey, look at that up there ahead. You see? Looks like it's suspended in midair.
Holy. It's the rubies, me buckles.
Gold caskets studded with them. Look at them glow.
Where's the light coming from?
From that hole in the roof there. See? Sun's rising.
Hey.
Now look. It's a heathen idol. And it's got the ruby box held in one of its hands.
And in the other hand, a snake. A little gray enamel snake.
Watch it. Somebody's coming.
A row of green-robed priests, eyes closed in silent prayer, began filing into the circle of light. One of them stepped in front of the idol, held up a long gray cord as if for the idol to see. The circle of light widened, and we saw the kneeling form of Sangti. He wasn't smiling now. He looked sad and frightened.
You don't think he's really going to get strangled?
You got me.
As if he'd been waiting for a signal, the priest stepped quickly in back of Sangti, looped the cord over his neck, and jerked.
No.
Watch out!
C6H4 add CH3 taken twice. No, that's not Pig Latin, and it's not a secret code either. It's the scientific description of xylene. Xylene is one of the highest adenoc gasoline components ever discovered by science. But here's the big news. Every drop of Richfield gasoline you buy contains xylene. Richfield gasoline contains this super adenoc component to take the knock out of hill climbing. To put a new wallop in your motor. To zip you out ahead in traffic. Give you power to spare on the open road. And Richfield offers you two great gasolines to choose from. Both with xylene. Get Richfield High Octane at regular price for the average motor, or Richfield Ethyl. Ethyl at its best for smooth, knockless performance in the highest compression motors. Get Richfield gasoline with xylene tomorrow. Stop where you see the Richfield Eagle under cream and blue pumps. And now we return you to Escape.
You got him, Mortgage. You got the priest.
The murdering hyena. Come on.
Come on.
Hey, careful. Them other priests in here somewhere.
Sanctee.
Is he all right?
No, his neck's broken. He's dead.
Ah, skip the fat heathen. One of you reach for the ruby casket.
I'll get him. Holy Moses, that must be worth a fortune.
Look out, Meph. The snake. The snake's not part of the idol. It's alive.
Get away!
The little gray snake struck at his hand like lightning. As Meph fell, it was already on the floor racing at Moggridge, who had grabbed the ruby casket. He smashed at it with his rifle butt, breaking the tail, and it slithered away under the idol. We looked at Meph. He was horrible. Purple. Like he'd been dead a week. We ran. Ran out into the desert.
Wait up. Wait up, will you? Oh, I can't keep this up, me buckles. This thing is heavy. There.
Let's see that casket, Mortgage. Look at him, Johnny. We're rich, you know that? We're rich.
Doesn't it mean anything to you that Meph is dead? He's dead.
Yeah, sure it means something, Johnny. It means he only split it three ways.
Is that all you can think about?
What do you want to do? Send him his share?
Forget it. Forget I said anything. Let's get out of here.
Now, lads, calm down. There's 20 miles of Devil's Playground between us and the schooner. We gotta start using our heads.
Well.
Hey, settle down, Johnny. Gonna be a hot day.
The rubies flamed in the early sun. Crisp leered at them, and Moggridge's face had a look I'd never seen before. All they meant to me was Meph and that sudden, horrible death. I don't remember it getting hot. It just was.
It jerks not to get that water out of the lake.
You feel like going back?
Not me. I got what I came after. Are we going the right way?
Yeah. Sunset's in the west. We'll be walking right into it.
How far we come?
I don't know. I don't know anything except that it's hot.
Here, Chris. It's your turn to carry the casket. Oh, it's a job lugging that thing.
All right. Here, Johnny.
No.
You take the rifle.
I'll take it for you, me bucko.
No, Johnny will carry it.
Why, of course, me fine boy.
Well, give it to me. Let's get going.
I wish this thing was split three ways already. Wouldn't be so heavy.
Seemed like the day was endless. The casket passed from Crisp to me and back to Moggridge. I got heavier each time. I didn't think of Meph anymore. The sun burned all thought of him out of my brain. As it headed down for the horizon with maddening slowness.
How much longer is it going to hang there?
It's enough to drive a man crazy.
Hey, let's stop. I gotta stop.
We can't stop. We'll never be able to get up.
I'm no fat Chinese. I can't walk 20 miles without a stop.
If only one of them lake mirages was real.
Look. Look, do you see it? Over there on the left.
Yeah. Looks like somebody walking in the sky just over them dunes.
Looks like one of them priests.
Don't you see what it means? We saw the same thing when we were following Sanctee.
You mean one of them priests is following us?
Yes, it's the casket. He wants the casket.
Now, don't get all excited. Remember, we got the gun.
There's only one of the devils. Just let him show.
He knows we've got a gun. He won't show while there's still sunlight. He'll wait for the darkest time, just before the moon.
Well, what could he do?
I don't know what he could do, and I don't want to find out either.
Johnny's right. That's when he'd try.
Yeah. You know, I'm not as tired as I thought.
We best be moving along, me buckles.
Yeah.
There goes the sun.
We didn't run. We couldn't. Crisp was carrying the casket, and we had to stay together.
All day we'd prayed for the sun to go down, and now that it had, we almost wished it was still there. The blackness was sudden and complete. We kept walking, waiting, ready for anything. But nothing happened. The dark hour passed and the moon rose.
We fooled him.
It seems that we did, me buckos. If he was there at all.
He was there, all right. Those priests let us get away too easy.
And look, you guys, let's stop. I'm bushed. There's enough moonlight now to see anything.
We'll be making it to the schooner tomorrow, easy.
It's my turn with the rubies. I'll stand first watch.
Well, I guess it's safe. Moon's pretty bright.
Oh, my bones. My muscles.
We dropped where we stood. I think what woke me was the moonlight creeping under the brim of my hat. I felt cold. I sat up and saw Chris was asleep. His hat had slipped down over his face, but his fingers were still wrapped tight around the casket. I looked across the desert and froze. Just for an instant, I saw a yellow face duck back behind a low dune. When I got to where it had seen it, there was nothing. Not even a mark in the sand. But I had seen a face. Morgridge and Crisp were still dead asleep, only it seemed that Crisp's hat had slipped a little. And then it actually shifted, rose, and settled back. Crisp. Crisp, are you awake?
What?
Don't move, Crisp. It's the snake. Kill it!
What's happened?
Crisp is dead. Look at him. It was under his hat all the time. It's the little gray snake with a broken tail. That Chinese is hunting us down.
Which way did it go?
There. You see the track?
You missed it?
Yes, I missed it. And it's coming back. It'll keep coming back until it gets us.
We gotta get to the schooner.
Leave the casket, Morgridge. That's what they want. Hasn't it caused enough trouble?
It takes a bit of trouble to get rich, Johnny, me boy. And I don't mind it a bit. Johnny, me bucko. I gotta have water. Oh, help me, Johnny.
There isn't any. We've gotta get to the schooner.
I know the signs, Johnny. There's water out here. Help me look.
Don't, Margaret. You'll drive yourself crazy.
Crazy, is it? Don't call me crazy. It's you. Look over there. It's bushes. Green bushes.
There's nothing, I tell you. It's just sand.
Now, don't lie, Johnny. Don't lie. I'll go fetch you a drop. It'll make you feel better. You watch after the rubies, and I'll fetch you.
No, come back, Margaret. We've got to go on.
Stay with the rubies, Johnny.
I watched him work his way over, stumbling in the sand. And then suddenly I saw it. There was something green. Margaret! Margaret, I see it! I see it, too!
It's water! It's water!
No, Margaret! It's silk! Green silk! He wasn't crazy now, and neither was I. The green-robed priest rose up out of the desert, and in his hand he held the little gray snake. Morgridge was running back. And then there was darkness in my eyes, and I was running desperately with something heavy clutched in my arms. We only stopped when it was broad daylight. And the sense of fear came to an end.
Is he following?
No.
That was a close one, the dirty heathen.
Morgridge. Do you feel it?
What?
The breeze. Oh, it's cool.
It's a sea breeze. It's the Gulf, me bucko. We've made it.
Look, I see it. The schooner.
And there's a whole cask of water right in deck.
The tide's up. Let's get out of here. The two of us can handle the schooner, can't we?
Even one. I done it many times. Johnny.
Step away from the rubies, Johnny.
What?
Johnny, lad, you see the gun. Now step away from the rubies.
Ogridge, you're kidding.
You don't think I'd cut you in on a fortune in rubies for $200, do you now?
Put down the gun.
I didn't plan on you getting this far. I needed the three of you to carry the box. But now the box is here aboard the schooner. So step back to the rail, Johnny.
Mogridge.
Step back, Johnny. That's a fine boy.
I realized everything now. Mogridge knew that Sang Tee would come. He knew where the bay was in the fallen pillar. It led us like sheep. And I was going to die, too, in that desolate place. I felt the rail of the schooner against my legs.
But before you go, maybe you'd like one last look at the rubies, huh? I hold them up. Oh, ain't they beauties?
Then I saw it. The little gray snake slithering across the deck behind Mogridge. But he didn't see it.
Ain't they beauties, Johnny? Look at the colors. Red like blood and worth a fortune that won't be divided. Won't be divided at all.
And then the snake struck. I looked at Mogridge. His color began to change. It was horrible. Horrible. It was the priest standing on the deck beyond Mogridge. And in his hand was the little gray snake. He picked up the ruby box, slipped the snake inside as if it had been a rare string of pearls. And then he bowed and was gone over the schooner's rail. I saw his green robe bobbing into the desert, and the rubies flashing blood red in the sun.
You don't need a fortune teller to tell you this. From now on, you'll probably have to wait longer for a new car. So don't neglect the car you've got. See to it that all points have the protection they need to save wear and breakdown in hot summer weather. And to give you that needed protection, Richfield All Point Safety Service is made to order. Richfield All Point Service gives your car the sturdy protection of Rich Lube Lithium Lubricant, the premium lubricant that's better always. You'll get expert protection for your motor, chassis, transmission, differential, and wheel bearings. Lubrication that stands up under the toughest summer driving. If you have automatic transmission, you'll get top-rated Richfield automatic transmission fluid. And finally, as an extra precaution, you'll get a safety check on your battery, tires, spark plugs, and radiator. So tomorrow, stop where you see the Richfield Eagle on the cream and blue pumps. Get Richfield All Point Safety Service. Escape is produced and directed by Norman McDonald, and tonight has presented The Footprint by Gouverneur Morris, adapted for radio by Richard Chandley. Featured in tonight's cast were Bill Conrad, Charles Davis, Lou Krugman, Tom Holland, and Ramsey Hill. Special music arranged and played by Ivan Dittmars. Next week.
You are creeping through the dark streets of Paris in the middle of the night. Ahead of you, the Gestapo is lying in wait, and relentlessly tracking you down from behind is a murderous madman from whom there is no escape.
Next week at this time, the Richfield Oil Corporation of New York invites you to escape with the most unusual story of fright and terror in occupied Paris, as Marcel Aimé tells it in his unforgettable story, Crossing Paris. Be listening. Goodbye then until this same time next week. when once again we offer you Escape. Tom Hanlon speaking over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program. And Signal gasoline is tops, too, tops in quality. It takes extra quality, you know, to give you extra mileage. And Signal is the famous Go Farther gasoline, available wherever you see the Signal circle sign in yellow and black that identifies independent Signal dealers from Canada to Mexico.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now the Whistler's strange story. Search for an unknown.
The tall, dark-haired man and his companion moved away from the bar, crossed the cocktail lounge, and stopped before the huge windows to gaze out over the city. As they stood there, watching the flickering lights across San Francisco Bay, the girl unconsciously began toying with the shiny new wedding band on her finger. Then, as the man raised his glass to drink, she turned and looked up to him.
What are you thinking about, Frank?
Albert Maxwell. The little guy over there across the bay waiting in the death cell.
What time is it?
He's got 10 minutes to go.
He deserves to die.
Yeah. But if I'd played this case smart, things might have turned out better. Sometimes I wish I'd never been mixed up in it at all.
Do you, darling? If you hadn't, you wouldn't have met me.
I'd have found you somewhere, darling, sooner or later. You know, Julie, maybe I ought to give it up. Quit making like a private eye and take up selling shoelaces.
I'd much rather you remain Frank Ferguson, private investigator.
Funny, most wives would object.
Would it make any difference if I did?
Maybe. Maybe not. Come on, Julie, let's go home.
All right. Frank, in a few minutes, when the execution's over, you're going to forget the whole thing, aren't you?
Sure. Sure, I'll forget it.
As Frank Ferguson and his bride of 24 hours moved across the cocktail lounge toward the elevators, he wondered if he could forget it, forget the story at all. Of course, it wasn't his. He'd only played a small part in it. Actually, it was Duncan McKay's story. Duncan McKay, head of the largest gambling syndicate west of the Rockies. And Ferguson's thoughts went back to the night it all began. The night months ago when he arrived at McKay's heavily guarded estate in San Mateo, had been ushered into the billiard room by Jim Slade, McKay's bodyguard.
Mr. McKay.
Yes, Slade, what is it? Oh, come in, come in.
So, you're a billiard expert.
Yeah. So you're Ferguson, huh?
Yeah, I'm Ferguson.
You know, you don't look...
I don't look like a private eye. That's what they keep telling me.
You play?
By the boys along Montgomery Street, I was voted most likely to rip up the table in 1949.
Yeah, how'd you play this one?
Against the cushion. Where else?
Five says I do it the hard way.
Five?
You can deduct it from my bill, huh?
Why did you send for me, McKay?
Well, they tell me you're a pretty smart boy.
Let's get to the point, huh?
Sure. The point, Ferguson, is that... somebody is out to kill me.
That's news?
All right. I've been threatened before, but this time, well, it's a little different. I received a letter a few days ago, a letter threatening my life.
Doesn't sound like any of your former playmates, huh?
Yeah, that's right. They wouldn't operate that way. In the crowd, you don't get advance notice. You suddenly wind up in an alley full of slugs.
So you got a letter. Why worry? You got a nice setup here. You can hide behind your steel fence and those guards. There isn't a chance of anybody getting close enough to you to do any damage. What are you so nervous about?
I'm not nervous, Ferguson. Not worried at all. Let's say I'm amused. My curiosity has been aroused. This whole thing intrigues me.
I don't get it.
You will. Here, just a second. Yeah, yesterday afternoon's paper on page 2. Pictures and everything.
So a couple of citizens in Frisco received threatening letters. Same as yours?
Yeah, the same.
Julie Wilson, Albert Dobbs. A hat check girl and a hardware clerk. Friends of yours?
Never saw them before in my life.
She's a good-looking dame.
If you like hat check girls.
I don't throw rocks at anybody.
According to the paper, the Wilson girl doesn't know Dobbs and he's never heard of her. So there it is, Ferguson. Three strangers. We each get a letter threatening us with death. And we don't know why.
There must be some connection.
Now, that's why I hired you, Ferguson. I want you to find out what that link is. What ties me up with a hat-check girl and a guy who sells nuts and bolts in some crummy hardware store?
You resent the company, McKay? That's what's bothering you?
At some point in our lives, our paths must have crossed. Somewhere, we...
Somewhere along the road, the three of you kicked somebody in the teeth. And now this somebody wants to introduce you to an embalmer the hard way.
Look, I want you to find out all there is to know about this Wilson dame and this guy, Albert Dobbs. Where they're from, what they've done, who they know, everything. I want a complete report on both of them.
All right, McKay, I'll even find out what kind of toothpaste they use. Let me see you make this shot, huh? Ten says that you don't.
Ten says I do.
Thought you said you weren't nervous, McKay. I'll add it onto the bill, hmm? I'll see you around. Don't worry, I'll take care of everything.
You smile as Ferguson leaves, don't you, McKay? Confident that once he finds out all there is to know about Julie Wilson and Albert Dobbs, once the link is established between the three of you, that you'll know who is threatening your life, and then you'll take care of everything. In the days that follow, you wait anxiously for some word from Ferguson. And then finally, one evening.
Yes?
Hello, McKay. This is Ferguson.
Well?
I thought you better know, McKay. Somebody else received one of those letters. A guy named Brovelli. Gino Brovelli. You know him?
Brovelli? I never heard of him. But put him on the list, along with Julie Wilson and that Dobbs guy. Talk to him.
Okay. But he won't answer.
Why not?
He met with an accident. He's on a slab at the morgue.
With the prologue of Search for an Unknown, the Signal Oil Company brings you another strange story by The Whistler. But first, a word of wisdom about a major purchase that many of you drivers will be making during the coming winter months, a new battery. When you compare the cost of different batteries, remember this. The important thing is not the first cost, but the cost per month, which, of course, depends on how long the battery lasts. Measured by that yardstick, one of today's most economical batteries is the new Extra Long Life Signal Deluxe battery. Instead of being guaranteed for only a year or 18 months like most batteries, the new Signal Deluxe batteries are guaranteed for a full 2.5 years on a service basis. The secret of this amazingly long life is their improved type all-rubber separators, the finest kind known to battery engineering. In addition, this improved construction helps Signal Deluxe batteries deliver up to 35% more power, a great help in taking care of the many electrical gadgets on today's automobile. So before you buy any battery, find out from your Signal dealer the generous trade-in he's now offering for old batteries, plus his convenient credit terms on new Signal Deluxe batteries. You'll see for yourself that on a per-month basis, it actually costs less to enjoy the quicker starting and long dependability of today's finest battery. a Signal Deluxe battery. And now back to the Whistler. You don't like to admit it, do you, McKay? But the news is more than a little disturbing. The news that the killer has claimed his first victim. A man named Bravelli is dead. A man who, along with Julie Wilson and Albert Dobbs, received a threatening letter similar to the one that was sent to you. But the killer will never reach you, will he? Not as long as you remain within the protective walls of your estate, with Jim Slade, your bodyguard, close by your side. You're going to play it safe and wait until you find the link, the tie between you, Julie Wilson, and Albert Dobbs. And then you'll go after the killer yourself. As you pace the floor of your library, 1,000 questions flash through your mind, questions you waste little time asking when Ferguson finally arrives.
That's what I said, McKay, a window washer.
Bravelli, a window washer.
Yeah, he fell out of a 20-story window late yesterday afternoon. It looked like an accident, that is, until this letter came around to his boarding house this morning. The landlady spotted it, the way it was addressed, you know. She called the cops.
Now, wait a minute. Bravelli was already dead when the letter arrived.
Yeah, the letter was postmarked yesterday at 5 p.m. Bravelli took a dive around 3.
But why mail a letter to a man after you've already killed him?
Well, maybe the killer saw an opportunity to knock off Bravelli ahead of schedule and took it. That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, there's another.
A couple of more, McKay. Suppose Bravelli wasn't on your friend's list at all. Suppose the letter was written by some crackpot, a guy with a warped sense of humor.
You said the letter was the same.
Well, sure, but anybody can get a piece of butcher paper and squirrel something on it with a hunk of red crayon.
You think that's what happened?
No, here's what I think happened. The killer hears about a guy falling out of a building. This gives him an idea. He decides to make you sweat a little, so he writes the letter. You get the picture?
Yes, yes, I get the picture.
Your nerves are showing, McKay.
All right. All right. What do you want to... What do you find out about the others? The Wilson girl. Dobbs.
Well, here's a 10-page report on Julie Wilson or a hat-check girl faces life. She's a sweet kid, McKay.
Is she, Ferguson? How'd you meet her? Barroom pickup? She throw herself at your feet when you bought her a beer?
No. It was all very formal, McKay. The gent who owns the club where she works introduced us. Like I said, she's a sweet kid. I've been to the club lots of times. Somehow I never noticed it.
Maybe that's because you never check your hat.
Touche.
Now, how about this hardware clerk, this Albert Dobbs? What'd you dig up on him?
I didn't. He's disappeared.
Disappeared?
I went around to his hotel this afternoon. The clerk told me he packed up and left. Address unknown.
Fine, fine. That's great.
Well, don't get excited. I got a couple of leads I'm going to check on as soon as I get back to town. I'll find him, McKay.
You'll see that you do. And call me the minute you line up anything.
Sure, sure.
Slade?
Yeah?
You show Mr. Ferguson out and see I'm not disturbed for the next few hours.
All right, Mr. McKay.
It's almost 4 in the morning when you finally set aside the report on Julie Wilson. You've been over it again and again and again, but it's revealed absolutely nothing, not the slightest clue, not a single link to connect your life with that of the girl. You turn out the desk lamp, lean back in your chair, and close your eyes. There's still Albert Dobbs, the hardware clerk, isn't there, McKay? Yes. Perhaps in his story you'll find the missing pieces of the puzzle. The days drag on. You wait impatiently for Ferguson to call, but he doesn't. And then on the morning of the fourth day, Slade interrupts you at breakfast.
Yeah? What is it, Slade?
It's about Ferguson, Mr. McKay.
Yeah? Well, what about him?
He's been checking up on you.
You what?
Yeah, that's right. Been going around town asking a lot of questions. They're all about you.
I don't like that, Slade. I don't like that at all. I'm not paying him to pry into... Wait a minute. How did you find out?
I've had one of my boys tailing him for a week.
Why?
Well, I thought it would be a good idea.
You know, what else have you found out?
He's been spending a lot of time with that Julie Wilson... Oh, getting real chummy. Real, real chummy. Of course, she's a good-looking doll.
Yeah, yeah.
She's up to something, Mr. McKay. Maybe she's in it with him.
You never trusted Ferguson Heavyslay.
No. Why hasn't he told you he's found Albert Dobbs?
He what?
Yeah. That something else I found out. My boy tailed him 2 days in a row to a crummy little hotel on Mission Street. Only it wasn't until a couple hours ago he found out who Ferguson was seeing there. Dobbs. Ferguson was talking to the little guy in the lobby.
It hasn't turned out the way you planned at all, has it, McKay? Slade is right. Ferguson must be up to something. You're not exactly sure just what it is, but you're not going to take any chances. You hurry to the phone and dial. And as you do, you notice your hand is trembling. You call Ferguson's office. There's no answer. Then you ring his apartment.
Hello?
Hello. Who is this?
Well, who'd you wish to speak to?
Ferguson. I'm a client of his.
Oh, just a minute.
Wilson Dane. She's at his apartment.
Huh?
Hello?
This is McKay.
Yeah.
Was that the Wilson girl?
Oh, yeah. We figured it'd be a lot safer if she stayed here at my place while I'm away.
You're not going anywhere, Ferguson.
Well, you're wrong, McKay. I am.
Oh, you're wrong, Ferguson. I want to see you right away.
Sorry, I'm due at the airport in half an hour. I'm flying down to L.A. I'll see you when I get back. I'm on to something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll bet you are. All right, Ferguson. I'll see you when you get back. You can count on it.
Leaving town, is he?
Yeah. He didn't mention Dobbs. We gotta get moving, Slade. Ferguson's a smart operator. If he can fit this puzzle together before I do, he'll have me right behind the eight ball.
Yeah. He gets a story from the girl, from Dobbs, checks on your background, and he's in.
Yeah.
He can cause you plenty of trouble and cost you plenty of money, too.
Well, that may not be what he has in mind, but I'm not gonna take many chances. From now on, I'm gonna handle things my way. Tonight, we're going to drop around to Ferguson's apartment and have a nice, long talk with Julie Wilson.
Yes?
Hello, Julie.
Hello?
We're friends of Ferguson.
Oh, well, he isn't here right now.
Yeah, I know. Come on, Slade.
Just a minute. What do you want?
Relax. Nobody's going to hurt you. We just want to talk.
About what?
This. A little report on you, Julie. I want to be sure you didn't leave out anything on purpose. Now, sit down.
I don't know anything about it. You gotta believe
me. Come on,
me.
Sister. Now, take it easy, Slade. You might hurt the pretty lady.
Please, I've told you all I know. Now, leave me alone.
What did you tell Ferguson? What did you tell him he forgot to include in his report?
Honest, I don't know what you mean.
Now, look, it's getting late and my patience is getting a little bit... Oh, hello, Ferguson. You got back from L.A. in a hurry.
What's the idea, McKay?
Oh, yeah. Just drop around, have a... friendly chat.
Look, McKay, I don't like guys to call on my girl unless she invites them.
Your girl?
That's what I said. Julie and I are going to get married.
Please, Frank, it's all right.
Married, huh? You know, I don't get you at all, Ferguson. When I showed you her picture in the paper, you didn't know it.
I didn't then. This happened kind of quick between us.
I see.
I don't think you do, McKay. Whether you do or not, you can take a powder now and take your ape with you.
Listen, Ferguson.
All right, Slade, don't annoy Mr. Ferguson. His trinker figure is nervous. Might do something rash. Come on. We'll see you around, Ferguson. Remember, I still want to talk to you.
What do you think, Mr. McKay?
I say the girl was leveling. But I'm still not sold on Ferguson. And we'll find out soon enough. Where's Dobbs hiding out?
Mission Street, near the waterfront. Not too far from here.
Well, let's go see him. You know... he might have the answer.
Yes. You want to believe that, don't you, McKay? That Dobbs holds the key to the mystery. That once you've heard his story, you'll know who sent the letter threatening your life. A quarter of an hour later, you park your car on Lower Mission Street while Slade hurries into a small, dimly lit hotel. A few minutes, and he's back.
Registered under a phony name. Clerk said he hasn't come in yet.
Yeah, you sure?
Cost me $5. I'm sure.
All right. We'll wait. Give me a cigarette, will you, Slade?
Sure, Mr. McKay. Yeah.
Thanks. What time is it?
A little after 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. What's keeping him?
Think he'll show?
He's got to.
Never saw you like this, Mr. McKay. Jumpy, it isn't like...
All right, I'm jumpy. What do you expect?
Sure.
I don't like this setup, Slade. Don't like it at all. I've always known who my enemies were. Always been able to take care of them when they came around looking for trouble. This time, I don't know who I'm up against. Makes a lot of difference, Slade. Makes a lot...
What's wrong?
Up ahead. Just turned the corner. Coming this way.
Could be.
Wait. Wait till he walks by.
Dobbs?
I'd
like to talk to you.
Are you, your police?
No, we're not the police. Here, take it easy, Dobbs. We're not going to hurt you.
No, wait.
Now relax. Come on.
Hello, Dobbs.
Who are you?
A handy guy for you to know, if you want to level with me.
But I don't understand.
Hey, we'll talk about it on the way.
Where are we going?
Down to my place in the peninsula. Nice, quiet, very safe place for both of us.
Both of us?
I think it'd be a good idea for us to have a little talk. Maybe we can add up a few things and find out who's trying to kill us.
Us? You mean you two?
Yeah, we're both in the same boat. Now get in, Dobbs. We're wasting time.
Shortly after 3 a.m, you arrive at the gates of your estate. Watch them swing open. You nod to the guards and drive on up the roadway to the house. And a few minutes later, you're sitting in the library, facing Albert Dobbs across the desk.
Sure you won't have one, Mr. Dobbs?
No, thank you.
Yeah. Now go ahead, Slade. Fix yourself a drink.
Thanks.
So you don't know why anyone would want to kill you, eh, Dobbs? No idea at all?
No, Mr. McKay. I don't have any idea at all.
You're scared, aren't you?
Well, yes. Aren't you?
Now, look, suppose you start in from the beginning. Maybe we can help each other.
Start in?
Yeah, I want you to tell me all there is to know about Albert Dobbs. Where you're from, where you've been, what you've done, who you know, everything.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Now, go ahead.
Yes, well, I was born in
1893. Yeah, might as well pull up a chair, Slade. This is going to take a long time. But I've got a hunch this is it, and it's going to be worth it.
The Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending to tonight's story. Meantime, I'd like to ask one of you ladies a question. Are you going to serve iced tea with your Thanksgiving dinner?
Of course not. In cold weather, we prefer a hot drink.
Precisely. And just as you choose a different diet in cool weather, remember your car needs a different cold weather diet, too, if you want to keep performance up and wear down.
Just what do you mean? By a cold-weather diet for a car?
Well, first of all, the transmission and differential should be drained and refilled with the correct winter grade of Signal gear lubricant. If your front wheel bearings and speedometer cable haven't been repacked for 5,000 miles, now's a good time to have your Signal dealer tend to that. And, of course, the tired old motor oil should be drained and replaced with Signal Premium Compounded Motor Oil, the new type oil that does so much more than just lubricate.
What more can an oil do than lubricate?
A good question. You see, because scientific compounds have been added to Signal Premium Compounded Motor Oil, it actually removes carbon and prevents corrosion. That's why more and more drivers who want a sweeter running motor are switching to Signal Premium Compounded Motor Oil. And now, back to the Whistler. It's almost dawn now, and you're tired, aren't you, McKay? You lean back wearily in your chair, close your eyes, listen to the voice of Albert Dobbs as it drones on and on. Names, dates, places, and more names and dates and places. Not a one stirred a single spark in your memory. But the story of Albert Dobbs isn't over yet, is it? Somewhere your paths must have crossed. Somewhere you met the one person who now wants to kill you both.
I had to leave. I went back to Los Angeles.
Oh, wait a minute. When was this again?
Well, let's see, 1929.
All right, 1929, L.A. Where'd you live?
On 54th Street, near Figueroa.
Where?
54th Street. I had a small flat near there. What's the matter, Mr. McKay? Have I said something?
In an instant, your thoughts raced back through the years. Back to that unfortunate little affair on 54th Street in Los Angeles. 19 years ago, wasn't it, McKay? You were just one of Galletti's strong-arm boys then, selling protection to small shopkeepers. And that night, your methods of persuasion proved fatal to a man who ran a grocery store. You're confident now that you're on the right track at last. Dobbs, the frightened little man who sits facing you across the desk, has established the link. The rest of his story will supply information you've been looking for. But you don't want your bodyguard Slade around over here.
Slade.
Yeah, Mr. McKay?
Yeah, why don't you turn in and get some sleep?
Oh, that's all right. I don't think...
You better turn in, Slade.
Sure. You're the boss.
Now, all right, Dobbs. About 54th Street in L.A. Suppose you tell me who... Hello?
McKay, this is Ferguson.
Yeah, what do you want, Thomas?
Look, McKay, you can thank Julie for this call. She talked me into it. I was in favor of letting you sweat.
What are you talking about?
Till I made that trip to L.A., I wasn't sure. I am now. I've got your man, the guy who's trying to kill you. As soon as I hang up, I'm calling the police.
Oh, wait a minute. You know who...
Yeah. A guy named Maxwell died in L.A. His brother's been after you a long time, McKay. With all that protection you had, he couldn't get close to you. So he figured out a way to get you to come after him.
What?
That letter he sent you. He knew if he mailed the other two to a couple of strangers, people you'd never heard of, your curiosity would be aroused. The letter he sent to Julie was a blind. But the one he sent to himself was going to pay off.
To himself?
He'll kill you the first time he gets you alone, McKay, so I thought I ought to warn you. His real name is Albert Maxwell. But we know him as Albert Dobbs.
Dobbs?
That's right. I'm Albert Maxwell.
Wait a minute. You got me wrong. You got me... Slade! Slade!
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Sunday night at this same time. Signal Oil Company has asked me to remind you that the community chest drive, now in progress, deserves the support of all of us because all of us benefit either directly or indirectly through improved community conditions. So give generously to your community chest. Featured in tonight's story were Willard Waterman and Frank Lovejoy. The Whistler was produced and directed by George W. Allen with story by Adrian Jondot and music by Wilbur Hatch and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Remember, at this same time next Sunday, another strange tale by The Whistler. Marvin Miller speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.